Today on Real Life Radio.
We're living in the time what is referred to as the church age, where the good news of Christ is preached around the world, that you can be forgiven of your sins. But God says in the book of Genesis, my spirit will not always strive or put up with mankind and his antics. There's coming a day when God will execute judgment.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with the message titled, When Creation Breaks Down. Now, there's no doubt that we live in challenging and perilous times, right? I'm sure you'll agree with that. The world's losing its moral values and filled with hopelessness and coming under judgment, a world living for pleasure and financial gain no matter the cost. You see, when creation breaks down, we'll see God bringing down his judgment. In the second half of the tribulation period, God will release his grip on the world and catastrophic events will happen to such an extent it'll be beyond anyone's ability to cope. What we know is that the sun and the moon will take on a gross doomsday-like appearance, with much more to come. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when the atmosphere comes undone, it will be as if the sky is falling, right? Stars will fall from the heavens, earthquakes will shake the entire earth, and all equilibrium will be lost. Humanity will fall to its knees in terror, but we don't have to be there. That's the good news. If we choose right now to follow Jesus Christ and accept his message of salvation, God has made for us a way to escape. Now in his message called When Creation Breaks Down, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible teaches that just before Christ comes back to earth, there will be a specific, consecutive, 7-year period of time that will be triggered, or that will commence, the Bible says, by a peace treaty signed by a European political leader with Israel and its neighboring enemies. You can read more about that in Daniel chapter 9 and 2 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3. As you read about that, you begin to understand that God will put, again, his eyes back on the nation Israel. The significance of that is that prior to 1948, there was no nation of Israel. That for nearly 2,000 years, Israel had been dispersed as a country, as a people, as a nation to all the world. But again, the Bible is accurate, the Bible is true, and the scripture says before Christ returns, this Antichrist, this instead of Christ, this imposter Christ, will come to the people of Israel via Europe, out of the ancient Roman Empire, and the very day of his advent will be known to the world. Nobody will be mistaken as to who this man might be, because the scripture says that he will sign a peace treaty with Israel, again, with its surrounding enemy neighbors, for a duration of 7 years. That is amazing. Because Israel and peace is top news. Peace treaties regarding Israel is what all nations of the world were seeking after. It would be such a benefit to the world if Israel and its neighbors had peace. Things would calm down. Trade would do better. The markets of the world would do better. So much would be better. And of course, the Bible anticipates this. That's why I love reading this book. It's more current than tomorrow's newspaper. The Bible is. And so as we get into this, we're looking now of events yet in the future, and we now come to this portion where we're 3.5 years into the tribulation period. And I got to tell you, especially for those of you who are visiting this morning, I would love to be able to give you a kind of a really fluffy kind of message this morning. You know what I mean by fluffy? Kind of makes you feel like all cuddly inside and warm and fuzzy. But that's not what's before us. And so I can't skip it because then I'd be in trouble with my boss. We're to give the full counsel of the Word of God, amen, the Lord would have us to do. So how do we present this horrific future event, very, very terrible? How do we look at it today? We can look at it this way. Please listen. As we look at this portion of Scripture, make it very clear. You do not have to be involved in the things that we are about to read. Unless you're crazy. I mean, that means you have to sign up, so to speak, to be involved in the hellacious things that are coming to the earth. You would have to, number one, deny everything that history and the Bible has to say about God and His redemption through Christ. You would have to also lie against your own logic. You would have to even sin against your own conscience. You would have to go against historical accuracy and facts. You would have to discredit and discount all the things that have gone on in your life and in the lives of those people who've been around you, who've come to know God. You would have to spend all of your time, all of your effort trying to discredit the fact that this book is real and accurate, the Word of God. Better, my friend, to listen to this study, thank God for what you're going to miss, but also tuck it under your belt, so to speak, and be able to use it as a witnessing tool for others, because it is very, very likely, as it is with every generation of Christians for the last 2,000 years, that we could certainly see the advent of Christ in our lifetime. My goodness, when you look around at the things that are taking place in the world, it is quite amazing. Especially as we get into the topic this morning of earthquakes. You know, when you mention the word earthquake, what do you think of? Earthquake, what's the next word? Yeah, I heard it right there. That's right, California. Well, the Bible talks about a time when in the tribulation period, the natural or created elements of the earth begin to break down. And not only the earth, but God's creative powers begin to just break down. And we see that. It's amazing to note that the Scripture teaches that it is God who's holding the universe together. God is doing it by the command of His power and by the keeping of His word. So Revelation chapter 6 this morning, beginning at verse 12, it's rather alarming, but again, you don't have to be living here on earth at this time to experience these horrific events. John says in his divine or heavenly vision, I looked and then when he, that's Jesus, opened the sixth seal. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of the heavens fell to the earth as a fig tree that drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, great men, rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains. Now listen to what they say. They said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? These are the events, and it is amazing for us to try to understand this. These people have seen by this period of time very bizarre cataclysmic events. Now we come to this 3.5 period division between that 7-year period of time, and atmospheric disturbances are taking place in the heavens above. Not only that, but there's a great earthquake. The largest earthquake in U.S. history happened in 1812. Guess where? Anybody know where? Missouri. Good job. You guys are smarter than First Service. That's amazing. New Madrid, Missouri, 3 earthquakes within 24 hours. First one, 7.4, 7.6, 7.7. Some of them even estimate that it was in the eights. That the earthquakes were in the what would have been then the Richter scale reading of eights or mid eights. The reason why we don't know is because that technology wasn't invented by that time or at that time. However, this is what we do know. Imagine an earthquake in Missouri, of all places. that was felt by the shaking and some minor damage by people living in Alberta, Canada. The distance of that. It was felt as far away as Denver, Colorado. Mexico City, it was felt. An earthquake so great and so strong. Now, seismologists tell us that it is possible that if an earthquake happened in a strategic spot in one part of the globe and at the same time opposite that part of the globe, that an earthquake or those two earthquakes could be felt around the world. This is a scientific possibility. The truth of the matter is God says there's going to be an earthquake that will be felt by the world. And we'll see more about this in future studies. But when an earthquake hits, you are immediately humbled, aren't you? There is nothing you can do. And boy, we see the humbling of a great host of people when it comes to this period of time. Now, again, keep in mind before you get discouraged, you and I do not have to be here when this great portion happens regarding the scripture. So when creation breaks down, what do we learn? We learn three things about it. Number one, in verses 12, 13, and 14, is that when it happens, it's a day of God releasing his grip. Man, that's a serious thing to think about. It's a day that God begins to release his grip and these divine judgments begin to come to pass. What's significant about the sixth seal that we're reading through out of all the seven seals? This is the sixth seal, which directly now introduces God's judgment. This is the judgment of God. And I know that if we want this church to grow and more people to come on in, that you don't talk about stuff like this. I'd rather talk about stuff like this and have you rooted in truth than to give you some update on our local church picnic or something and have the church packed out with falsehood. You know what I mean? This is serious stuff. Maybe this will help us as we leave this place today to tell people, hey, God loves you. And you know what? This world is burning up, man. It's falling apart. And God's provided a way for us to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Well, the truth is the Bible says that God is going to release his grip upon this earth. And that's an interesting thing because in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 23, the Bible says that all of nature groans and travails waiting for the redemption of mankind. Did you know that? Now, I saw a sad thing the other day, and it reminded me of this verse. Near where I live, a big, beautiful squirrel, he got his tail run over. And you say, well, you know, what's the big deal about that? Well, I mean, he looked like he was hurting to me. I mean, he's in pain. And you got to wonder, what's that poor, according to Romans chapter 8, that squirrel is going through the suffering, waiting for the redemption of mankind, that all of nature, it says, groans and travails for the redemption of man. And you see things where the natural world, now hang on here. When you see the natural, the creation of God, the Bible says it's under the curse of man's sin. And you see the things that are taking place. Now, don't get me wrong, but I love, you know, the whales and the dolphins and the birds. And if you come to my house, we have birds all over the place because I love that stuff. I love because God did it. God made it. I don't go out and I don't go out hugging trees. You know, I appreciate the whales, all that kind of stuff. I don't worship that stuff, but I understand it for what it is, that God made it and he did a great job, don't you think? I tell you, you look at some of these birds that come in our backyard and I look at them and the paint job on those birds is spectacular. Why would God do that? Why didn't he just make birds all black? He didn't. They're spectacular. I think it's just for our viewing pleasure, quite frankly, and to show us of his handiwork. God made nature. He made the creation that is. But if you look real close, you will see its flaws and you'll see how factually it is under the curse of man, says the scripture, because of sin. For example, you can be watching this beautiful, this is sad, but you know, all these doves, they come and they feed in our backyard and it's so beautiful. They're making that coo sound and they're all, especially springtime right now, it's kind of dicey in our backyard. All the little, you know, it's dove season. I mean, it's not dove season, but it's, you know what I mean? Any young people in here? The young people should be in the other class, so I'll just tell you, it's time to make baby doves. And so all the doves are flirting with each other and all that stuff and doing other things. And right in the midst of all that stuff, we have this hawk. It's a sharp-shinned hawk. He just loves to live in our backyard, and he eats dove every day. And you could look at that and say, oh, look. Look at Mother Nature. Isn't it wonderful? I don't ever get that kind of comment, but it's not Mother Nature, it's Father God. And so, oh, look, and people begin to get tempted. Oh, look at nature. And people get into worshiping nature. And then this hawk comes down and eats the bird right in front of you. You got to ask, what's wrong with this picture? It's a fallen world. Beautiful creation, but it's out of balance. Are you with me? God didn't intend that. What happened was, this is the fallout from man's sin. And the Bible says that sin marches onward. It is like it's scaling upward. There is a measure of sin that the Bible says that it will reach a point and then God will radically intervene. When we look at the world around us, we see nature that is being held hostage, so to speak, by sin and by the power of sin. And Romans says that nature travails over that very thing. What we do see here is now God's intervention via judgment into the affairs of men. Now, what's amazing about this, verse 12 teaches us that it is actually Jesus Christ who's executing his wrath. And this is a strong thing. The Bible tells us in Luke's gospel that Jesus Christ, and you know the story, Jesus came as he was in his inaugural preaching of his ministry, he came to the synagogue and the attendant brought to Jesus the scroll of Isaiah. And Jesus would have turned to Isaiah chapter 61. He begins to read the first verse. And he just gets into the second verse when he pauses at a comma. And he says this, for example. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He is quoting the prophet Isaiah. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to those who are captive and the recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are held captive and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then it says, Jesus, after saying that, closed the book and then handed it to the attendant. And he stood up and he said, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What's interesting is that Jesus stopped at a comma. He didn't complete the verse. He didn't complete Isaiah 61 verse 2. Well, why didn't he complete it? Because 2,000 years ago, he came to take away our sins upon the cross. He died on the cross. And his ministry was to set people who were bound free. That comma has lasted nearly 2,000 years. Why is that important? Because it dovetails right into what we're talking about this morning of Revelation 6. That verse, if he would have kept reading, goes to this next statement. "And the day of vengeance of our God." It is the announcement of the great tribulation period that would come upon the world. So Jesus stops at a comma. It's the acceptable time now to preach the good news of the gospel. Why? Because there's a day coming when the vengeance of God will be deposited upon the earth. So church, listen, right now we're living in a time of grace. We're living in the time what is referred to as the church age, where the good news of Christ is preached around the world, that you can be forgiven of your sins. But God says in the book of Genesis, "My spirit will not always strive or put up with mankind and his antics." There's coming a day when God will execute judgment. Now, this is where our story, this is where the teaching, this is where attention really needs to be in tune. God is judge. And when he comes to judge, it will be like no other event ever in human history. It will be greater than the great flood. It will be greater than any other thing that he's ever brought upon the earth. It will be greater than Sodom and Gomorrah. And you might be tempted to say, "Well, that's why I don't want to know your God." But you have to understand something. God doesn't go around judging people. He doesn't walk around with a big fly swatter waiting for you to step out of line. God, who is holy, has implemented a law of righteousness. And if you violate that law, you pay the price. There's only one way that you can get out of paying the price, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's why he is called the Savior. It's very simple. You say, well, if it's so simple, then why are people going to be judged? I don't know. That's a great question. Why would they resist him? Think about it. If we were in an airplane and the airplane was going down and we had parachutes and we begin to deposit parachutes to you, would you not take a parachute to jump out of the airplane? I mean, that's not my color. Or you know what? I don't want it to wrinkle my shirt. That's insane. That's crazy. And yet, why is it that there are people, even on their deathbed, saying, I don't want to hear about God? It's in our hearts. It's in our minds to reject his goodness and his love. Just like that Muslim girl, when she heard about the love of God, it stopped her in her tracks. Tears filled her eyes. The love of God. Why would you reject the love of God? These people in this portion of Scripture have rejected God's offer of love. Jesus Christ must execute judgment upon the world. Okay, listen. He came, he was beaten, he was scourged, his beard was plucked out of the face. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6 tells us. He was treated worse than any other human ever. Isaiah says he was disfigured by the beatings more than any other human being. More, even so, you couldn't distinguish him as a man. That's gross. And yet the Bible says that God put this upon him for our redemption. Jesus didn't suffer one iota beyond what was necessary. And when you think about what he paid for us on the cross, why shouldn't we fall on our knees and say, God, you are awesome and you are so wonderful and I pledge my allegiance to you, Lord. He's so good. Well, these people have decided to reject Jesus Christ at this period of time, and judgment is coming. It's a terrible thing. But the scripture says that these great cataclysmic events will happen. And the fact of the matter is, it's amazing to realize that Jesus Christ is the one who holds the world together. The book of Colossians tells us this in Colossians 1, beginning at verse 13. It says that he has delivered us from the power of the darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's S-O-N. In whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, that he is Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, or the word is preeminent one, over all of creation. For by him all things were created. What binds the universe together? They have nicknamed it cosmic glue, affectionately. The Bible says it's Jesus Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When Creation Breaks Down. Kind of a thought-provoking message, don't you think? Glad you're with us today. When Creation Breaks Down, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, our good friend William Federer has done it again. He's written a book called Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. Isn't that what it's about? Control? Seems like everybody is seeking to control you these days. Why is that the narrative? Why is that what you're hearing about on the news? And let's be honest, everybody, why is it that that's what you're feeling when it comes to your own rights and freedoms and that of your children? Because there is a group of people who practice socialism, who want to control you. This is the new America unless we put a stop to it. And this book will help you do that. It will give you incredible insights and historical backgrounds, literally throughout history. Which is the deep state? It is that action of control. How do we know? Well, you know what, everybody? It's been happening since Plato, and it's happening right now in our present day.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.